For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. While lawmakers in Richmond negotiate terms for expanding Medicaid, one legislator proposes an alternative. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is put on hold over compensating landowners. Virginia signs on to a letter protesting offshore drilling. And Charlottesville finally begins forming its first Citizens Police Review Board. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, February 2nd, 2018.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
A handful of bills related to Medicaid continue to make their way through Virginia's General Assembly. As Megan Pauley reports, a bill by Republican Senator Siobhan Dudevant cleared a Senate committee yesterday.
The bill is an alternative to Medicaid expansion and would change a current Medicaid waiver called the GAP program. The waiver is currently reserved for individuals with serious mental illness, but Dunavant's bill would expand it to include those with a substance use disorder or life-threatening illness. Jill Hankin with the Virginia Poverty Law Center says she supports many aspects of the bill, but says it doesn't do enough to help Virginians get access to care.
But the GAP program is too limited as it is, and even this bill would not close all the gaps in the GAP program. For example, the bill does nothing to cover 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds who currently can't qualify for GAP.
Services are currently provided for those 18 and under through Medicaid, once they age out at 19, they're left without coverage. In Richmond, I'm Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
As lawmakers in Richmond talk about Medicaid expansion, work requirements aren't the only possible reforms on the table. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has this look at other changes to the health insurance program.
This week, Republicans in Richmond have opened the door to negotiations on Medicaid expansion, and they've said they want recipients to work. But Republican Speaker of the House Kirk Cox is open to other reforms as well.
I think there are a lot of possibilities. Obviously, the health care savings accounts, which, of course, gave you a stake, a low premium, maybe 2%. Things like co-pays.
In Virginia, reforms like this are being championed by a Democrat. Delegate Mark Sickles is calling for Medicaid expansion, but not without co-pays, wellness incentives, or some kind of work program. And in a letter to Republicans this week, Governor Ralph Northam says he's ready to discuss ways to make the program more efficient and effective. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
A federal judge has halted a company's plan to take possession of various lands in Virginia for a controversial pipeline project until it can demonstrate that the landowners will be adequately compensated. The judge on Wednesday said Mountain Valley Pipeline LLC is entitled to condemn the land it needs, but that it can't take immediate possession of most of the properties in question until the court is assured that just compensation will be paid. The top lawyers for a dozen coastal states, including Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring, want the U.S. Interior Department to cancel the Trump administration's plan to expand offshore drilling, warning that it threatens their maritime economies and natural resources. The attorneys general, all Democrats, wrote Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke on Thursday about his agency's proposed 5-year oil and gas leasing plan that opens new ocean waters. North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein says he assembled the coalition. He says his state's coastal tourism industry alone generates $3 billion and 30,000 jobs, and that proposed changes to drilling safety requirements will increase exploration risks. And finally today, this month, Charlottesville will begin considering applicants for its first-ever Police Civilian Review Board. The board has been a long time coming and has been mired in politics. WMRA's Jordy Yeager has more.
After the violence of August 12th in Charlottesville, the city hired Tim Hafey and a team of lawyers to find out what went wrong and why. But one of their key findings was a problem that dates long before the 12th.
There's a broad division here in our community. We talk to people here who have very serious antipathy toward the police and toward city government.
Hafey served as the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Virginia for 5 years. He knows Charlottesville's relationship to law enforcement because he was part of it. He knows that for years, African Americans have been arrested, stopped and frisked, and jailed at a disproportionately higher rate than white Charlottesville residents. But he says there's another sentiment in the city as well.
We also talk to a lot of people who believe very strongly in the efficacy of law enforcement and the integrity of our officers. Those people live in this community side by side.
As Charlottesville's first civilian review board begins to form over the next several months, these two communities are at its epicenter. Lawton Tufts works at the University of Virginia's law school and spent 3 years at the public defender's office in Charlottesville.
There's either two views of the police department. Either they're doing a great job and they should be sort of patted on the back, or two, there's areas for them to improve at, and there's concerns from the community that maybe they're not doing as great of a job and they need to get additional training, or they need to be held accountable, have some sort of transparency.
Either way, a civilian review board would help, he said. And last month, counselors voted to form the city's very first one. It'll examine people's complaints against officers and possibly instances where police have stopped and frisked people or used force against them. The department has reviewed all this for years, but citing privacy and investigatory concerns, few of these details ever see the light of day. And that lack of transparency has allowed mistrust among some residents to grow.
There are a lot of people that didn't want to talk to us because our client was the city, or because I had worked in law enforcement. I don't trust law enforcement. That is a very real thing. We've been dealing with that in this community for a long time, and it needs to be addressed.
Residents and officials in Charlottesville have been discussing a review board for years. And now that it's finally happening, it's the who that has people concerned. Adeola Ogunkede is the Civil Rights and Racial Justice Director for the Legal Aid Justice Center. Last month, she asked counselors who better to look at complaints against police than those who have been personally impacted.
I think counsel has to be aware that people are looking at this moment for you to counter the history in Charlottesville of intentionally ignoring the perspective of communities of color, low-wealth communities in Charlottesville, and take affirmative steps to ensure that the composition of the civilian review board reflects those perspectives.
And that's part of the who. But the other part is more complicated. For the last 9 years, a separate body known as the Police Citizens Advisory Panel has tried to bridge the gap between the community and the police. Several members even got taught how to review stop and frisk incidents. But by all accounts, the panel was stagnant. David Simmons, the former head of the panel, said there's a reason for that.
We were in panel. We didn't have a budget. We didn't have staff. And so the question was, who is helping us with that? And we tried, to the point of just being frustrated.
Last month, Simmons approached council for more resources to form a civilian review board themselves. But he was met with opposition. Counselor Wes Bellamy served on the panel for more than a year.
I love this panel, but our panel is ineffective.
Simmons and other panel members balked, saying, "What did you expect?" Counselor Kathy Galvin said that after this past summer, they needed an independent body, a board whose mission isn't to promote the police department, but rather to oversee it.
And I understand at the same time your frustration. I hear it. 9 years is a long time to be trying to do something and not getting heard, not getting resourced. At the same time, because of that, there's a public perception issue. I applaud all the work you've done. I do think we need a fresh start.
Shortly thereafter, counselors voted 3-2 to dissolve the panel and create a new review board that will have 7 members appointed to 1-year terms with a $2,500 budget. The board's bylaws will be drafted by those initial members, not council. They'll also define their own mission, as well as the number and term lengths of future members. But what does the Charlottesville Police Department itself think about all this? Lieutenant Brian O'Donnell has been with the department for 21 years.
It's important. We want it. And I think a review board would help to bring the community and the police department back together. And again, there are people who will always be super pro-police, right? There'll always be people that are anti-police. So the gap that we're hoping to bridge with this is reasonable people on both sides coming together and understanding that there's a process to that an oversight that they can be a part of to review our practices.
Applications for the Civilian Review Board are due by Monday, February 5th, and can be found on the Charlottesville City website. For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.
Learn more about that story at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.